What a blessing. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to 1 Kings in chapter number 3 tonight. 1 Kings in chapter number 3. I like the songs of Zion, don't you? Amen. The Bible said He put a new song in my heart. Amen. And I like the songs of God. I like to hear God's people sing. And I've been blessed tonight to hear you sing. 1 Kings in chapter number 3. 1 Kings in chapter number 3. Stand with me for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to have you join me in just a few moments as I read a little bit. I'll pause and have you to join me. Solomon is 21, very close to that. And he's made king. His older brother, who would have been, apart from God's clear directive, would have been the natural choice as the oldest living brother, a son. And he tried to usurp the throne that God had given to Solomon already. And so David rose from his sick bed and his son was anointed. In chapter 3, God gives him a blank check, so to speak. In verse 5, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night and said, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." The verses that follow describe how that this young man asked for wisdom and a heart of understanding. We get down to verse number 16, we begin a story that illustrates the wisdom of this young man. Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, "O my lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept and laid it in her bosom and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, The one saith, This is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. And the other saith, Nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living. Pick up with me in verse number 24 and read to the end of, read through verse 27. 24 through 27, please, together. And the king said, Bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman, whose the living child was, unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. So here's two women of ill repute, harlots. That's how they ate. That's how they lived. And they stayed together under the same roof. One of them rolled over on her baby in the middle of the night. And the baby was suffocated. She woke up and found the baby next to her laying there. Her child had died. And so she quietly, in the dark of the night, silence, she switched the babies. She took her dead child and laid in the bosom of the other lady, and then took the living child and laid in her bosom. And the next morning woke up, and the lady woke up, and she found the child next to her was dead. And she looked at the child and said, It's not my child. She looked across the room there, saw the other baby. She said, No, that's my child. And the controversy began. They argued back and forth. The approachability of Solomon is illustrated in this story, that these two women of ill repute could have an audience with the king. It's pretty special. And they come with their controversy, and it's one person's word against another person's word. And Solomon, just a young man with divine wisdom from God, said, I know what will settle this matter. Look at verse number 24. And the king said, bring me a sword. Father in heaven, please take this truth, this story, to drive home an even broader truth to our hearts tonight. Bring me a sword. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. They brought him the sword. And the king said, basically, it's your word against your word. It's your opinion against your opinion. It's your idea against your idea. You say one thing, you say another thing. I know how to settle this matter. Bring me a sword. When the sword was brought, the mother of the living child, the Bible said she yearned upon her bowels for her son. Interesting terminology there. The word bowels is like our word compassion, and yearn means to grow warm. In other words, her heart was hot with compassion for her child. When the sword was raised, the heart of the mother was exposed. Her intentions at that point became to do only what was best for her child. She, in essence, said, I'd rather live without my baby than see my baby not live. In essence, she said, I'd rather suffer personal loss than to see my child suffer. She said, in essence, I'd rather suffer injustice myself than to see my baby suffer. She said, in essence, proving I'm right is not more important than my child's future. And thus she valued the life of the child, and if you might say, the thoughts and intents of her heart were revealed by the sword. So too were the true intentions of the deceiving mother revealed. For the end of verse 26, the Bible said, but the mother of the deceased child, the other said, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Her motives were revealed, were they not? She didn't want the baby in the first place. She just didn't want the other lady to have it. That's evil, isn't it? And so, the sword settled the controversy. When controversy arises in the consideration of our Christian faith, we have a sword that can settle the matter. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. When one person's story says one thing and another person's story says another, when someone's opinion is thus and someone else's opinion is thus, bring me a sword. Let's settle the controversy. Let us take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. For that sword is quick, and it is powerful, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And it pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And just like the sword of Solomon pierced and divided the truth from the lie, the mother from the imposter, the truth today will do the same. The sword of the Spirit will do the same. Many years ago, in very early part of our ministry, we went up here to Forest Brook Circle and started knocking doors. And we'd had a van load of folks on a Thursday night. And it was late fall or winter time, so it got dark earlier. I was in my office on Friday morning, and the telephone in the office rang, And a lady, excuse me, a gentleman said, began to basically rebuke me and said, yesterday evening, some of your folks were here in our neighborhood and putting pamphlets on doors and knocking on people's doors. And I want you to know we have a church already. We don't need your pamphlets. And we didn't like it, people going up down the streets in our neighborhood. And I said, well, sir, I said, we was giving out gospel tracts, invite folks to church. We're not trying to steal sheep. I said, we're just trying to find folks that don't belong to the church and folks need to be saved. And he said, well, I'm a Christian. He said, I'm a youth pastor. And we don't need your pamphlet. I said, well, sir, if you're a youth pastor and you're saved, surely you believe in what we're trying to do. And I said, you're born again, right? He said, yes, sir, I'm saved. I said, well, and I was at my study there. I was in my study, and I had my Bible open, and I started flipping through the book of Acts, and I just read to him. I said, the Bible said, daily in the temple and every house they cease not to preach and teach Jesus Christ. And I read to him that ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. And I read him, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added to the church, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And over in chapter 8, verse 4, it said, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. And he listened to me, and I said, sir, if you're offended that we come in your neighborhood and pass out tracts, I said, I'd be happy for you to do it. You're a Christian. Why don't you get some tracts and get a group from your church and you go up and down your neighborhood. We'll go to another neighborhood. There's plenty of neighborhoods. He said, you know, we really ought to be doing that too. I said, you should. I said, we're on the same team. About that time, somebody grabbed the phone and Mama got on the phone. The real reason for the call, I think. And she said, we don't want you in our neighborhood. You come back in here. We're going to call the police. Boom! Hung up. The next Thursday, I gathered the soul winners together and we prayed. And I said, now folks, I know we've been going up north of town. I said, but the Spirit's leading me over here to another section of the city to give out gospel tracts and knock on doors. And the Holy Spirit said, you're not going back to finish that neighborhood? And I said, I don't feel led. He said, are you scared of a woman? I said, yes. I don't want to go to jail. And the Holy Spirit rebuked me. And we went back. Within a short time, I met Miss Patsy over there. And that first visit led a couple boys at her kitchen table to Christ. And now, probably 20 years, been teaching Sunday. 27 years this month. Somebody say amen. Serving. It's why I just don't believe in that personal, confrontational, soul winning, you call it. Where'd you get that word anyway? He that winneth souls is wise. From the Bible. Well, I don't think you ought to bother people. You ever read Luke 14? Go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Bring in the halt, the maimed, the lame, the blind, the poor. The halt, somebody had to help them. The lame, somebody had to carry them. The blind, somebody had to lead them. The poor, somebody had to pay their way. Spend some money, spend some time, spend some effort. And they did that, and then they said, well, we did it, but the house, he said, go to the highways and hedges, go in the streets and lanes and fill that, listen to it, that my house may be filled. I understand this matter of personal soul winning and passing out gospel tracts. I understand it's becoming marginalized more and more. That's to be expected as the return of Christ comes. So we have a controversy. You say, well, you can't do it that way. Listen, you can't build a church that way. First of all, we're not trying to build a church by soul winning. We're trying to be obedient to the Great Commission. You say, well, you can't do it that way. Shouldn't be done that way anymore. People are more private these days and they don't want somebody to knock on their door. Listen to me. My Bible still says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. My Bible still says, daily in the temple. And hey, bring me a sword. let's settle this controversy. Bring me a sword. The sword said daily in the temple. The sword said the Lord saved daily such as should be saved. The sword said go into the highways and hedges, the streets and lanes, and compel them to come in. Those soul winners. I hadn't seen the letter yet, but I heard about it. This is my first time reading this. I've just heard about this. Our teenagers, when was this? 2 weeks ago. Met with controversy. They got scolded. Is that a fair assessment? Who did? Oh, in her words. They got scolded for soul winning. Knocking on people's doors. This letter is dated May the 8th, written to the youth pastor. I think that I owe an apology to 5 or 6 of your young ladies who came to our apartment complex around 4 p.m. or a little after this afternoon. I hope that my actions did not discourage them from doing God's work because of my ugliness. I'm a Christian, and I realize the importance of winning people to the Lord, especially in times such as these we're experiencing. What a blessing to see young people witnessing. Please extend my sincere apology to them. Several pages. Tonight as I pray, I beg God's forgiveness for being so ugly when they awaken me this afternoon. Please accept my apology sincerely in her name. Isn't that sweet? Let me tell you something. Because of teen soul winning, Pat Stratton's in heaven. She's been in heaven Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. She's been in heaven 4 days. 5 days, Wednesday. She's been in heaven 5 days. Because of teen soul winning, Christine Christensen has been in heaven 4 days. Somebody say amen. Amen. A little boy rode our buses and came to Sunday school and made a profession of faith. Soul winner dealt with him and he asked Christ to be his Savior. I went back to the apartment to follow up on the little boy. The last name was Green. I remember that. And talking to the little boy, a mother came to the door. Mother was there at the door. The little boy was there at the door with the mother. And I said, I just want to let you know your son received Christ as Savior last week. Mother took her son and she pulled him into, they were in the doorway. She pulled him through the doorway behind her. And she said, I don't believe you could just call on the Lord and expect to be saved. A dear, beloved man who's with the Lord now, whose son I love and see occasionally here in town, successful man, lives in a nice home. I went some years ago to sit down with he and his family. I witnessed to them at length and gave them a thorough presentation of the gospel. And I forget that his wife looked at him and she says, I just don't believe and all that getting saved stuff. Now we have a controversy. Bring me a sword. Bring me a sword. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There's no difference between the Jew or the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. Controversy settled. You need to be saved. Luke 19:10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Just off of Hub Morris Road there. 12-year-old boy and his dad stood on the back porch. And I witnessed to the dad professed his salvation and witnessed to the little boy. got down the end. Would you like to be saved? He said, I want to be saved, but I can't be saved. I can't be saved. I thought he didn't understand. I went back again and explained the gospel. He said, no, I can't. I've tried to be saved. I said, so you don't get saved by trying to get saved by trusting. He said, no, I tried to be saved. I began to talk to the dad and the little boy about the background. Kind of find out the little boy had been taught that the way to be saved is repent of all your sins, ask Jesus into your heart, be filled with the Holy Ghost as evidenced by speaking in tongues. If you don't speak in tongues, that's not evidence you've been filled with the Holy Ghost. If you've not been filled with the Holy Ghost, you didn't really get saved. And he said, I tried. Sincere little boy, I tried, but I just couldn't. Others were doing it, and I just couldn't do it. I tried to do it, and I can't be saved. I got to show that little boy the truth of God's Word. I got to show that boy that's by salvation is by grace through faith plus nothing, minus nothing. I shouldn't have done it. I was probably in the flesh. But I came home on a Sunday night years ago. We still lived over here on Tremont Drive, 315 Tremont Drive. Came home and clicked on a local station. And the 1-800 prayer line was on there. And I know, I was tired, folks. I was exhausted. You understand, don't you? Anyway, I called the prayer line. I shouldn't have, but I did. I said, I want to be saved. What do I need to do? Well, sir, you need to repent of all your sins. And you need to ask Jesus to be your Savior, wash all your sins away. Then you need to get baptized. Then you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost as evidenced by speaking in tongues. I said, so. I said, if I do that now, will I know absolutely know for sure that I'm going to heaven? And the lady, the prayer lady, says, well, yes, but you gotta keep living for him. So I backed up. I said, so I gotta repent of all my sins. I gotta ask Jesus to save me. I gotta get baptized. I got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You got to speak in tongues. You got to keep on doing right. Oh, yeah, there you go. Faithful to the end. I said, okay. And then I'll know without a doubt I'm going to heaven. Well, I mean, you know, you got to live it, sir. I said, ma'am, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? I said, what if I can't get baptized? Like, what if I'm an invalid or something? I should not have done this, and please don't ever do this. I was in the flesh, but you can just be in the flesh vicariously through my story without having to get in the flesh yourself. I said, what if I'm an invalid and I can't get baptized? She said, well, you got a bathtub, don't you? I said, ma'am, you know, the Bible said that we can know. It said, these things I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal... Click. How many of you ever been hung up on by a prayer line person? So we have a controversy. Bring me a sword. Bring me Acts chapter 2. Bring me Acts chapter 2 that tells me that the Holy Ghost came down and cloven tongues of fire lit upon them and a rushing mighty wind. You don't ever hear anybody talk about cloven tongues of fire. You know why? Because it's a whole lot easier to fake tongue talking than it is a cloven tongue of fire. Cloven tongues of fire. A mighty rushing wind. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. As you follow the word tongues in verse 4, you find it again in verse 6 where it says language. Then again in verse number 8 where it says tongue. Back in verse 11 where it says tongues. As you read Acts chapter 2, you find the word language and the word tongue used interchangeably. And you say, well, that was a heavenly language. No, it was the language of the Phrygians and the Pamphylians and the Egyptians and the Cyrenians and the Libyans and the Romans and the Jews and the Parthians and the Medes. He gives the nationalities. They heard them speak in their own language. The tongues are the language. The language is the tongues. It's not some heavenly gobbledygook. My dear friend, it is a means for getting the gospel to those that are lost. 1 Corinthians in chapter number 14, the Bible said this. Tongues are for a sign, verse 22, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. It is a tool to get folks saved. Chapter 14 said in verse 27, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most by three, and that by course, one at a time. Two or three, and one at a time. And let one interpret. What's he talking about? This is a multicultural area. These are folks, you go up to your dad's church. How many languages? Three languages. Three languages going on. Listen, tongues in the Bible was God's supernatural miracle of allowing people to communicate in a tongue, in a language they had not naturally acquired. Bring me a sword! You said, why? You don't know what I felt. You don't know what I experienced. Bring me a sword! Bring me a sword! So I felt this, I felt this, or I believe this, I believe that. That's my opinion. Bring me a sword! Bring me a sword! What does the sword of the Lord say? It cuts. It divides asunder. I knocked on a little trailer home on West Allred Street. I've not done this before. I don't recommend you do it. But as the door opened, the mother there opened the door. And as the door opened, I glanced to the right, and on the couch was a man with his open book, his booklets, what looked to be a Bible. And immediately, I said, this is a false teacher. Now, you're not supposed to do it this way, and I don't think you all do it this way. I wouldn't recommend you do it this way. Most time I say, hi, I'm Pastor John Shipp, Baylorsville Baptist Church. Do you attend church somewhere? Could I ask you a question? If you died, I try to get into the gospel. This time, I looked in, saw the man, said, I'm Pastor Shook. Y'all having a Bible study? Yes. I love to study the Bible. Can I study the Bible too? Well, sure. I walked right in. Walked right past the lady into her own house. Pulled myself up a chair. Don't do this. This is not how you're supposed to do it. Pulled up a chair. Turned it. Where my back was kind of to the... By this time I knew it was a Jehovah's Witness. Kind of turned my back to the... And I hijacked the Jehovah's Witness Bible study. Amen? And I started going through the gospel. The young man sitting over there on the couch started getting perturbed, angry. I didn't act like I went in the room. I paid no attention to him. I'd watch him out of the corner of my eye. I'd give a verse, for all have sinned. He'd say, short of the glory of God. Like, I know that verse too. The wages of sin is the gift of God. Eternal life through Jesus Christ. Man, I'm going through the gospel. He's getting more and more agitated. I see him in the corner of my eye. God is my witness. See him in the corner of my eye. He gets his tie. He loosens his tie. I'm just, man, the train's moving. It's like a spiritual battle. I knew it as soon as I saw it. The devil's trying to hijack this family's mind and heart, and I'm going to fight for them. And I kept going through the gospel, and he tried to butt in. I'd keep on going like it wasn't even in the room. His tie loosened up a little bit more. Now it's down about halfway down. And then God is my witness. He took his tie off and he started flipping it like this. He's so mad. And finally he closed up his little books and stomped right out. And mama and a 10-year-old boy got born again. He went back the next Thursday night. The dad, Alfredo is his name. He said, how do you remember that? How can you forget Alfredo? I went back next Thursday night. Dad was there. Mom, son, and the Bible study. I said, "You must be Alfredo." "Yes, sir." "Can I join the Bible study?" "Come on in." God is my witness, same thing. About 10 minutes later, flipping his time back and forth, stomped out one more time, and Dad got born again. Amen? Hey! Listen, you say Jesus Christ is not God. You say Jesus Christ came into existence when he was born of the Virgin Mary. I say unto us, a child is born. Unto us, a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Bring me a sword. Let's settle this controversy. You don't believe that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh? Bring me a sword. We'll settle it. Colossians 2:19, he's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He's a whole God, eternal God wrapped up in human flesh, and he walked on this earth. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Not the Word was a God, little g, like their false Bible says. In the beginning was the Word, capital W, Revelation 19:13. His name is called the Word of God. He's coming back on a white horse. His vesture is dipped in blood, and on it's written the name, the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, of the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Bring me a sword! Bring me a sword, cults! Bring me a sword, Mormons! Bring me a sword, Church of Christ, with your baptism, regeneration! Bring me a sword, Jehovah Witness! Bring me a sword, you Seventh-day Adventists! I got a sword! Let's settle this controversy. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ plus nothing minus nothing. You might not have this if you don't have a Bible. You've got a make-believe Bible. 1 John 5:7 says, there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Controversy settled. Pastor, don't you think it's a little divisive to stand up and say that the Bible is perfect? Don't you think that's a little divisive? Stand up and say every word of it is true? I mean, like, seriously? Every word? Don't you know that thing's been translated over and over and over and over again? Don't you know it's passed from one generation to another? And don't you think it's a little cultish to say it's the only perfect, pure Word of God, like every word is right? Don't you think that's a little naive and a little divisive? Don't you want to be more unifying? Exodus 24:4. Moses wrote all the words of the... Bring me a sword. Bring me a sword. Moses wrote all the words. Not thoughts, not truths, not ideas. Words, W-O-R-D-S. Exodus 34:1. The Lord said unto Moses, "Shew thee two tables of stones. Like in the verse, I'll write upon these tables the words." I'll write the words. Finger of God. Words. Deuteronomy 12:28. Observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that it may go well with thee. Deuteronomy 18:18, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him, my words. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I'll require it of him. I'll hold him accountable. Deuteronomy 27:8, thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly. 27:26, cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law. 29:9, keep therefore the words of this covenant. Many, many other examples I'm skipping. Psalm 12:6-7, the words of the Lord are pure words. Psalm 119:130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. Isaiah 51:16, I put my words in thy mouth. Isaiah 59:21, my words which I put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, saith the Lord. How long? From henceforth and forever. Proverbs 30 verse 6, add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar. Jeremiah 1:9, that the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. The Lord said to me, behold, I put my words in thy mouth. And Jeremiah said, thy words were found and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. He said in chapter 23, for ye have perverted the words of the living God. He said in chapter 26, diminish not a word. He said in Jeremiah 36, 32, then Jeremiah took another roll, gave it to Barak, the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. God gave Jeremiah, holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. He gave Jeremiah the words by divine inspiration. His scribe Barak penned them down, the words of God. They got into the king's chamber, and the king had them read, and the king took his penknife and he cut those pages and took the words of God and threw them on the fire. And God, the Holy Ghost, who gave those words the first time, came back a second time and said, get your pen and get your scribe. I'm going to speak again, and I want you to write all the words of the book which were burned in the fire, and I'm going to add a few extra chapters. There were added besides the many like words. What do you think? You think Jeremiah did that by memory? Is that what you think? No. He said, what did he mean by that? He gave them all the same words again. That's a mystery, isn't it? Matthew 24:35, 13:31, Luke 21:33, heaven and earth shall pass away, but the general thoughts and truths, no. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Proverbs 30 verse 5, every word of God is pure. Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Luke 4:4, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Revelation 22:18-19, I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, now the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Sounds like a serious matter to me. Don't add to the words, don't take away from the words. Deuteronomy 4:2, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, not any bit of it. Not one jot. Not one tittle. Equivalent in the English language to the crossing of a T, the dotting of an I. Psalm 12:6-7, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. The words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times, thou shalt keep them, the words. Thou shalt preserve them, the words, from this generation forever. Bring me a sword. The cults say, there's no hell. The Seventh-day Adventists, the Jehovah's Witness, there's no hell. Bring me a sword. The children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 8:12. Mark 9:44, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Mark 9:45, the fire shall never be quenched. Luke 16:23, and in hell he lift up his eyes being in torments. Revelation 9:2, and he opened the bottomless pit and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. Revelation 9:11, and the king and the head of king over them which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue his name is Apollyon. That's the old serpent, Satan himself. Revelation 21:8, the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and adulterers and sorcerers and all lies shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Revelation 20 verse 15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We could go on and on and on with the great doctrines of the Bible. Somewhere along the line, my dear friend, you're going to have to realize everybody's got opinions. They're like armpits. Everybody's got them. They don't always smell good. And somewhere along the line, you've got to settle it. Am I going to live by what my grandma taught me? Am I going to live by what my mama taught me? Am I going to live by what my best friend's pastor said? Am I going to live by what the cool priest with the podcast said? Am I going to live by my opinion? Am I going to live by my human experience? Or am I going to bring a sword, the sword of the Spirit, and settle this controversy? Somewhere along the line, whether it makes you comfortable or uncomfortable, you better decide what you believe is because of what the book says. I believe short hair on men because of 1 Corinthians 11:14. I believe in long hair on women because of 1 Corinthians 11:15. I believe in modest length skirts and dresses on women because 2 Timothy 2:9 and Deuteronomy 22:5. I believe in modest fitting breeches are for the men because of Exodus 28:42. Exodus 39:28, Leviticus 6:10, Leviticus 6:14, and Ezekiel 44:18. And I'm giving you the references, unless you want me to preach the whole kit and caboodle tonight. We'll be here till midnight. I believe soft colors are for women only because of 1 Corinthians 6:9, Matthew 11:8, and Luke 7:25. I believe a kid ought to say yes, sir, no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am because of Ephesians 6:1, Colossians 3:20, Exodus 20, verse 12, and Deuteronomy 5:16. I believe in respect for the aged because of Leviticus 19:32. I believe in modesty and propriety in the home because of Leviticus 18. I do not believe in using profanity because of 1 Timothy 6:20 and 2 Timothy 2:16. I believe in paying your bills because of Proverbs 3:27, Romans 13:8, Proverbs 6:6, 6:9, 15:19, 20:24, 22:13, 26:16, and Ecclesiastes 10:18. I believe in hard work because of Exodus 20 verse 9, Deuteronomy 5 verse 13. I believe a person that's able to work but too sorry to work ought to go hungry because of 1 Timothy 5:8 and 2 Thessalonians 3:10. I believe in obedience to civil authority that is not in a conflict with the higher authority because of Romans 13:1-5 and 1 Peter 2:13. I believe in capital punishment because of Genesis chapter 9 verse 16. I believe in submission to God and resisting the devil because of James 4:7. I believe a man should love his wife with a Christ-like sacrificial self-denying deep abiding love because of Ephesians 5:25 and John 15:13. I believe a wife should submit to her own husband because of Ephesians 5:25 and Colossians 3:18. I believe there are times when a man should submit himself to his wife because of the wisdom she offers because of Ephesians 5:21. I believe a man ought to have masculine mannerisms and a woman ought to have feminine mannerisms because of 1 Peter 1:15, Jude 1:7, and Genesis 3:19. And if I can act like a sissy, you can act like a man. I don't believe a saved person ought to marry an unsaved person because 2 Corinthians 6:14 and 15. I don't believe in Christian rock, Christian cigarettes, Christian booze, Christian gambling because 2 Corinthians 6:17 and 18. I believe Jesus was masculine, not some effeminate, long-haired hippie. He had hair on his chest, a beard on his face, calluses on his hands. He knew how to build a house, rebuke a hypocrite, flip tables, and use a whip when necessary because of John 2:15, John 19:15, 1 Corinthians 11:14, and Mark 11:5. I believe we ought to be like Jesus because of Romans 8:29, 1 Peter 2:21. I believe in pastoral authority because of Hebrews 13:17. I believe in shouting and singing and praising God and hearty amens because the entire book of Psalms, bring me a sword! Let's settle the controversy. Stand with me. Father, let us be people of the book. Let us be people not ashamed of Thy Word. May we be students of the Word, rightly dividing it to find that which pleases Thee. Make us bold in our stand, unashamed to live as biblical Christians for Jesus' sake. The altar's open if God dealt with you. The piano plays. Come and do some business with God. Settle down deep in your soul. What is your final authority?